Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are still... we're still in the throes of making changes to the studio. So, as I've told you before, we're kind of doing some remodeling. So, it has that echoey sound still to it because we're lacking furnishings and other things that would diffuse the reflectivity of an empty room. That is what it is. And so, you'll probably notice nuances and some minor changes every other week or so. Because usually we try to use weekends to, you know, because we can't take the downtime because we're doing these shows every day, every week. And so the only time we really have is over the weekend to kind of take a bite out of some of the work we need to do. But anyway, I just wanted, for those of you with a discerning ear, I just wanted to make sure that you knew that you weren't going crazy. And if there's anything that's making you crazy, it might be what the heck's going on. I am not sure how you're faring. And it's not that I do care, because I do. But the fact of the matter is, and I know that there is probably one or two of you that go, why does he go over this Madison property thing? Because that's what we're going to go to. That's what we're going to go through today. And I know in the previous episodes, I've kind of been telling you that this is coming up because we try to go through this on a regular basis. But why? Why do we go through Madison's essay on property? What's so important? What is so revealing about this particular paragraph, or not paragraph, but this essay on property? Madison puts property into the appropriate perspective because I want you to understand that if you look at your car, if you look at your house, you look at your possessions as property. The framers, they looked at those things as property, but they weren't their most precious. And Madison tries to point this out in this essay. The reason this is so apropos for today, for what the heck's going on right now, this couldn't have come up at a better time, is because your liberties are your property. That's why we're going to go through this. And you're going to hear what Madison talks about regarding government and how they take care of your property and what they do. To give you an idea of a decent government, bad governments, and so forth. But more importantly, as you know, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions necessary so that you can understand what it's going to take to change your paradigm and get involved in the only thing that is going to literally make a difference. We're not trying to create a party. We believe that we should be working with all parties that embrace the Constitution and individual liberty and individual sovereignty and those types of principles. Kind of simple. We don't have time. If you look over your shoulder, what the heck's going on? This is only a testament of how close we are to the federal government and the globalists basically saying, you know what, you guys don't need a constitution anymore. States, just follow us. We're going to do everything you need to do. And I want you to understand that it's going to take more than just the states kind of digging in their heels. The states have to use political force. They are going to have to use the Constitution as their weapon and the political force that the Constitution provides them to get the outcome that they need to restore our constitutional republic. It's that simple. And, you know, this may, there may be a lot of you that might be listening and going, huh, you know, it sounds so complicated. It really isn't. It really isn't. If you understand fundamental contracts, the greatest contract that you have property in is the Constitution, because that is the one contract that actually secures your liberty, and it makes it possible for you to obtain wealth, hold it, and pass it on to your posterity. We're coming close to a point in time where they abolish inheritance altogether. Why would they do that? Well, shoot, that's a part of the Communist Manifesto. They tried doing that, and for the most part, they did do that until just recently, and they still do it if you're that wealthy. So I just want you to understand that there is nothing greater, nothing more important than understanding what the framers had to say. And this is why we go through these documents. I don't want you to take my word for it. Now, I may not be the greatest reader, and I may not be the most animated, but I'm a pretty passionate guy, and I am not. I refuse to literally take the time to become the polished entertainer, because America doesn't need entertainment. America needs waking up. America needs the cold, hard facts that are necessary to get people to do what is necessary to take back our hybrid constitutional republic. It's that simple. So the question that stands, that I've been asking for a while, are you a part of the problem? Now, if you're really doing some soul searching, you might obviously start saying, yeah, I'm a part of the problem. Now, GR here, I'm still kind of a part of the problem. I mean, I'm doing lots of things that are worth and are actually applied towards a solution. But no, when I'm sleeping, I am not working on the solution. And there are points in time when I am engaged in family things and those types of things, my religious worship and so forth, that I'm not being a part of the solution, 100%. You know, just a solution operating machine. Now, my mind may always be there, but I can't consider myself, you know, firing 100% on all cylinders at optimum potential. So I get it that you may look at yourself and going, yeah, if you are one of those that is actually engaged in helping and you got to put a roof over your head, so you got to earn money. Okay, I get that. But if you're one of those who is just listening and you agree, but you have really done nothing, then how is it that you're a part of the solution? This is the question you need to ask yourself. How am I a part of the solution? The only way you transition from being in that pot of being a part of the problem, that stew, and getting out of that pot and into, you know, I would just say an unfettered world. Get out of the pot and get into the real world and become a part of the solution. And the only way you can do that is by engaging somehow in the solution. Now, there's a lot of ambiguity here, but if you listen, if you read the material on Republic Review, what does it take to do this? You have to start. One thing you can start doing is you can start sharing the message that there is actually content that is being broadcasted 5 days a week right here on Red State Talk Radio that is dealing with the only solution. And I defy anybody to tell me that what they're doing that has nothing to do with Republic Review as a part of the solution. And I will tell you that they are a part of the problem. Because that's why GR doesn't care about being an entertainer. I'm not here to try to occupy your mind on great analysis and, you know, mind-bending wit on, you know, some real clever, you know, sound bites regarding what somebody said or what somebody was doing or what's going on. Who cares? As you can tell, today's a content day. We're not going to get into the problem du jour. We're not going to get into examining, you know, what those problems are. When we do that, the only purpose of doing so, how much crap is it that you're willing to take before you decide to get into the solution business, before you finally say, you know what, I need to do something. I can no longer afford to not do something. So with that, I just want you to understand that there are opportunities. I hope that while you are sitting down and reflecting and ruminating on what you are doing, start thinking and putting things into context of whether you're part of the problem or whether you're part of the solution. Really, it is that simple. Now, what we've been going through, we started off with the scale of liberty, and we talked about the two opposite ends, the full side of liberty and the full side of enslavement. Those are the two ends, and they don't meet. This is not an ideological circle where you can literally go around and around. No, you either go this way or you're going that way in opposite directions. Don't let people tell you philosophically that they're kind of connected, because in the concept of liberty, you are either fully engaged in ordaining full liberty for others, or you are taking away incrementally or all of people's liberty. So anyway, we'll get back and do some recapping, and then we're going to move forward into Madison's essay on property. So we'll be right back to this. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so what we have done is we have talked about the scale of liberty. The two sides, again, being full liberty and or enslavement, where you have no choice. You either do what you're told or you are killed. And believe me, those people on that side, the end justifies the means. They will do whatever necessary to actually force you. And that, if go look up that saying, the end justifies the means. That is a totalitarian, it is a despotic, a tyrannical form of a paradigm. Now, we've migrated through natural law, and we talked about the importance of, you know, nature's law and natural law. We've also talked about republicanism, and we've talked about the enumerated constitution. We go through the Constitution all the time. But what we're going to talk about now is we're going to get into Madison's essay on property. What we're then going to get into is the Tory Acts. Now, I've got a special surprise for you. I had a great conversation with a state legislature, drum roll please, and out of South Dakota, I had a nice long conversation with Representative Randolph. And he and so I sent him some of the material that I've written, and it's opening his eyes. And he's really looking at the Constitution, not differently, but with better focus. What I try to tell people is if you start looking at my material, it will take what you kind of already knew, but you didn't know that there were these hard, cold facts out there to prove, just to prove irrefutably that this is the kind of Constitution we're supposed to have. I give that to you. And you can get those right there on our website, reclaimingtherepublic.org. Go to the Constitutional Articles page. By the way, I am dropping another article, maybe this week, if not this week or next. And this article is on Section 3, Section 3 specifically of the 14th Amendment, because we go through that a lot. But the next article that we're going to talk about after the Tory Acts, forgive me, the reason I started talking about Representative Randolph is in our next episode, we're actually going to play that interview. And then we're going to play the follow-on. So there's two parts to this. So it's going to take practically 2 days to play this interview. It was a very good, there's times when I just get this feeling like, you know, we're not going to get this done. You know, I can't find anybody. I feel like I'm Lot. You know, God's asked me to go out and find 100. And then he asked me to find 10. And then he said, if you can just find one. And I have found several, but it feels like sometimes when you can't find any more, I go, is that it? Is this it? Lord, come on. There's got to be more people in service at the states. Look at all these dark red states. Friends, if you know, this is maybe one way you can be a part of the solution. If you know somebody that is fully committed to the Constitution, that is working in your state, West Virginia, Oklahoma, you're in Arkansas, Kansas, Nebraska, anybody that is working in any of those states or any state that you know of, even if it's Wyoming and I haven't connected with them, let me know. Even if you don't think I've connected with them, or maybe you think I might have, just don't leave it to chance. Send me their info. I will reach out to them. And I'm doing everything I can to actually reach and get people on the record. And I'm really thankful that Representative Randolph was willing to go on the record. I spoke to a couple of South Dakota legislators already. I couldn't get him to go on the record. I wanted to, and maybe my mistake was that I, put it out there via a voice phone call because I had their phone numbers. I called them. I said, hey, I'd like you to do this. Well, I'm a campaigning. Our election is coming up June 2nd. And anyway, so it was a huge, wind in my sails. It really buoyed my soul, if you understand what I'm saying. And so I want you to hear this conversation. And these are raw conversations. And I'm telling you, this guy is great. We need Thomas Jeffersons in every state to lead. And I think we've found one in Representative Randolph. Do you have one that's willing to stand up
and do whatever's necessary to save our Constitution and our liberties. If you do, let me know. Because right now, it's just you and me. We're the only ones doing this. Now, we're trying to bring this to the party to embrace. We're trying to do this, and I'm going in every different direction. I could use a lot of help. I'm telling you right now, I could use a lot of help. But I'm not going to beg. I'm going to keep on doing this until I feel like, well, I've done everything I can, Lord. I mean, I have to be able to, you know, feel like I've got a good, clean conscience. I've done everything. And I know that I still, I'm a human being. I'm going to fall short. And I don't want that excuse to be standing in front of, you know, the judgment seat and saying, I fell short. And I know I did. I wanted to make sure I cross every T and dot every I. Even though we all know that we need that help to get across that finish line. And that's why our Savior atoned for our sins. That's why we just celebrated Easter. All of us Christians that celebrated Easter, I mean. So anyway, this essay was written in 1792, March. Actually, I think it was published the 29th of March. And again, this is James Madison. And he says this. This term, in its particular application, means, quote, that dominion which one man claims and exercises over the external things of the world in exclusion of every other individual. In other words, you can't call it shared property. It is your property because you could be in a business, a partnership, or in a marriage or what have you. This is not necessarily your property. And I do understand that, you know, the paradigm back then was the men, you know, were the property owners or what have you. And there were some cases where the women, I mean, Dolly Madison, and as well as Martha Washington, they both came to the altar with property in hand. So that was theirs. And then what they acquired mutually became the men's. And unless the, you know, when the women outlived them, then they, through the proper inheritance process. But anyway, I don't want to get too far into this other than the fact that he's talking about most people look at property as having dominion over external things of the world, over physical things, things you can tangibly touch, like land, a car, a horse, and so forth. Madison goes on and says, in its larger and juster meaning, it embraces everything to which a man may attach a value and have a right, and which leaves to everyone else the like advantage. In the former sense, a man's land or merchandise or money is called his property. In the latter sense, a man has a property in his opinions and the free communication of them. He has a property of particular value in his religious opinions and in the profession and practice dictated by them. I want to repeat that. And in the profession and practice dictated by them. I want you to think about these things while we're going through this, because those of you who were denied your expression of your religious expression for Easter and your thanks for the atonement, your thanks for Christ giving his life, the grace, whatever your expressions were, and whatever your Sunday Sabbath expressions are in worship, I want you to understand that these are your property. He has a property of peculiar value in his religion, opinions, and in the profession and practice dictated by them. He has a property very dear to him in the safety and liberty of his person. He has an equal property in the free use of his faculties and free choice of the objects in which to employ them. In a word,
a man is said to have a right to his property. He may be equally said to have a property in his rights. I want you to think about that. What that means is that, you have a right to assemble. It's a guaranteed constitutional right. That's your property. And now that you can't go out and go to church and worship, now that you can't go and have a dinner, or you can't commit commerce, you have to shut down and stay at home. Guess what, my friends? Somebody has just stolen your property and you've let them walk away with it. That's what's going on. And I want you, when we go through this, to start putting it into that perspective. It is that real. So we'll be right back after these two promos. Stay tuned. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Hey, America, how do you love the land of the free? How do you love your ability to be so free, but all of a sudden, something's changed? The real question you should be asking is, did really something change? Has something happened just recently? I want you to think about that. Because Madison goes on and says, where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his persons, his faculties, or his possessions. Now, I'm telling you right now, there was no arbitrary just grabbing. Things over time were put into place while everybody was watching it happen and going, well, these are good things. These emergency powers for state governors, these are good things. Are they? As a matter of fact, almost every, at least the ones I've looked at, almost every state constitution requires that if an emergency, a state of emergency goes beyond 30 days, the state legislators are supposed to be convening in an emergency session. Oh, well, we don't want to spend money. We don't need to. We've got a good king sitting, or a queen sitting at the top of the government of the state.
We have a land of kings. And the sovereigns, your representatives, have had their eyes, wool pulled over their eyes. They've been blinded by what the heck's really going on by allowing these types of laws. They need to repeal every single one of those laws. And they need to put in place better checks and balances to ensure that there is some protection of your constitutional liberties. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about this because it has everything to do with Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Madison goes on and says, where there is an excess of liberty, the effect is the same, though from an opposite cause, because it's anarchy, not despotism. Government is instituted to protect property of every sort, as well that which lies in the various rights of the individual, as that which the term particularly expresses. This being the end of government, that alone is a just government, which impartially secures to every man whatever is his own. His own property, which means your rights. Got to keep it in context. Madison wasn't just talking about physical property. He was talking about your intellectual property, your property of expression. According to this standard of merit, the praise of affording a just securing to property, affording a just securing to property should be sparingly bestowed on a government which, however scrupulously guarding the possessions of individuals, does not protect them in the enjoyment and communication of their opinions in which they have an equal and in the estimation of some a more valuable property. Now I wonder how many preachers out there that, that's them. That's how they make their living. That is their essence, their expressions. It's the same thing for writers. It's the same thing for, well, if you want to call them journalists, but it's the same thing for entertainers. Protecting that. But apparently, they only protect those who are in the profession, but not you common men and women. There is a big problem, and something stinks in Denmark. More sparingly, should this praise be allowed to a government where a man's religious rights are violated by penalties or fettered by tests or taxed by a hierarchy? Now, I'll give you a little background here. That one line right there helped everybody understand because the rumblings of the Bill of Rights that did not include, I've said this before, every state requested religious tests be a part of the Bill of Rights, that every state be able to apply a religious test. And so Madison argued, and he did not insert it. Now, there was a lot of rumbling, but there wasn't enough rumbling to get any state to actually call for a convention to say, we need to amend the Constitution to allow for religious tests. But Madison says this right here because he's talking about it. More sparingly, should this praise be allowed to a government where a man's religious rights are violated by penalties or fettered by tests or taxed by a hierarchy? And he witnessed this. That's why he wrote his remonstrance on religion. Conscience is the most sacred of all property. There you go right there. Conscience is the most sacred of all property, other property depending in part on positive law, the exercise of that being a natural and unalienable right to guard a man's house as his castle, to pay public and enforce private debts with the most exact faith, can give no title to invade a man's conscience, which is more sacred than his castle, or to withhold it to withhold from it the that debt of protection for which the public faith is pledged by the very nature and original conditions of the social pact, the Constitution. He did refer to the Constitution as a social compact or a social contract. This is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where the property which a man has in his personal safety and his personal liberty is violated by arbitrary seizures of one class of citizens for the service of the rest. A magistrate issuing his warrants to a press gang would be, in his proper functions in Turkey or Indostan, under appellations proverbial of the most complete despotism. That this is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to part of its citizens that free use of their faculties and free choice of their occupations. Now, I'm telling you, friends, if you look at some of the things that are going on where you can't do something because that has to be done by a professional, because we got these standards, we need to evaluate those types of things. Because I'm telling you right here, that's a despotic government. If you start looking at how they have, a great example of this is that the Detroit and car manufacturers have been doing and trying everything they can to make it so you could never work on your car. Well, that was an apostasy of the American way. You have to understand that every man was, had a right to be, that was his property. He should be able to fix it. He should be able to change it, modify it, or do whatever he wants. And Detroit has been getting better and better at making it so that it's almost impossible. How many people, I remember when I grew up, you could put a stereo, you could do all sorts of modifications to your ride. How many new rides coming out, these electrical cars and so forth? How many of those? I mean, you have to be an electrical engineer, a computer programmer, you have to have a vast array of technology and understanding, along with mechanical understanding, to really make some real modifications. You got to be an engineer practically. You have to have special tools, as a matter of fact, and everybody's nodding their head. I can see it. Fact of the matter is that they have been working and trying to make it impossible for you because they know that this is the bread and butter for their dealerships. They want you, and actually they've been doing everything they can to make it impossible for your shade tree mechanic to compete with the dealership, not having the ability to install certain firmware and certain things for your car. The point of my telling you this is when a government allows those types of things to happen, they're messing with your property, and it is an unjust government. And I'm telling you, we are seeing this in so many different ways. When you really start looking, it's just like, I want to go down and get tires. I want to change my tires, and I want to, put this tire on my car. Well, it's bald. Well, most tire shops will not allow you to put an unsafe tire. They'll say, I can't touch that tire. You can do it. Oh, but if you don't have the tools, you don't have the special tools to, to change those tires out, then you can't do it. They're putting you into a box and they're making you pay. Even though you could probably, let's say, you have a little bit of tread. They're not bald completely, but they're not the safest. They're not winter tires. You got summer tires, and you're putting your summer tires on your car because you have winter tires and summer tires. And you're not going to be driving a lot. And you're just going to be putting around, and you're not really going to use this car that much. And those tires would probably last you 2 or 3 years. Sorry. You have to pay money if you want to get those tires on, especially if you're an older person. You can't do them yourself or what have you. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Folks,
Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
All right, so I'm going to leave the editorializing to the end because I've got three paragraphs here to get through. And believe me, I can easily start talking and go down a rant and boom, I'm out. And I want to get this done in one show. That is not a just government, nor is property secure under it, where arbitrary restrictions, exemptions, and monopolies deny to part of its citizens that free use of their faculties and free choice of their occupations, which not only constitute their property in the general sense of the word, but are the means of acquiring property, strictly so called. What must be the spirit of legislation where a manufacturer of linen cloth is forbidden to bury his own child in a linen shroud in order to favor his neighbor who manufactures woolen cloth? Where the manufacturer and wearer of woolen cloth are again forbidden the economical use of buttons of that material in favor of the manufacture of buttons of another material. A just security to property is not afforded by that government under which unequal taxes oppress one species of property and reward another species. Where arbitrary taxes invade the domestic sanctuaries of the rich and excessive tax grind the faces of the poor, where the keenness and competitions of want are deemed an insufficient spur to labor, and and taxes are again applied by an unfeeling policy as another spur in violation of that sacred property, which heaven, in decreeing man to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, kindly reserved to him in the small repose that could be spared from the supply of his necessities. If there be a government, then, which prides itself in maintaining the inviolability of property, which provides that none shall be taken directly, even for public use without indemnification to the owner, and yet directly violates the property which individuals have in their opinions, their religion, their person, and their faculties, nay, more, which indirectly violates their property in their actual possessions, in the labor that acquires their daily sustenance, and in the hallowed remnant of time, which ought to relieve their fatigues and soothe their cares, the inference, will have been anticipated that such a government is not a pattern for the United States. Now, I'm telling you, friends, look at the type of taxes that we have. We have a government that is not for the United States that they created. If the United States mean to obtain, by mechanism, to obtain or deserve the full praise due to wise and just governments, they will equally respect the rights of property and the property in rights. They will rival the government that most sacredly guards the former, and by repelling its example and violating the latter, will make themselves a pattern to that which all other governments. And so, do you see why this one essay is so important? I keep on wanting to call it a paragraph, but it's not. It's a few paragraphs, but do you see why this is so important? You need to understand what government should be doing and how they should be taxing and how they should be treating your property and what your property is defined as. No, it's not just your car. It's the things you put in your car. It's the things that come out your mouth. It's the ideas you have in your head. Now, for the most part, we've had a government that has kind of respected those things, but has now become, over the past half century, easily become very, very arbitrary. And if you understand the words arbitrary, that means that there is no true application. I'll give you a good example, because one of the things I rail on is there is no equity in how we treat somebody who's committed a crime. Justice is blind, right? And let's just use the DUI, because I know I've talked about this before. So those of you that, you know, want to roll your eyes in your head, by all means, just do so. But let me say this, that when a NFL football star and a janitor decide to, you know, have a few and realize that they don't have any other mechanism, they could call, but they just, you know, I haven't had that much. I'm going to go ahead and drive home. And they take that risk. And they get hit in a sobriety checkpoint. Or they do something stupid. Now, 9 times out of 10, doing something stupid has something to do with, you know, whether you believe you're above the law. So you find this athletes that will probably do the stupid thing, right? You usually don't see the guy that is working and, you know, barely making it, you know, just barely making a living wage, barely able to, you know, rent a home and put food on the table and so forth. And he's celebrating. A friend is getting married or something. And he doesn't have the money. He doesn't have the means. But nevertheless, he makes the same mistake. The bail that he has to pay is tantamount to maybe a year's salary. The penalty that he has to face is not equal to the penalty that the opulent banker, that the opulent, you know, Hollywood star or sports star is going to face, because it's just a flat fee. And to me, that doesn't make an equitable criminal justice system. You know, if criminal justice is blind, then everybody should feel the same kind of pinch. And, oh, well, we just want to simplify it. Yeah, you simplify it for us minions, that it's going to hurt us all. But, oh, the elitists. When Teddy Kennedy killed that girl from a drunk driving, and had he got arrested, Well, obviously he would have been having to face murder, but you know, there was the DUI and all of those things. Maybe it was just a DUI. Maybe the girl didn't die. But the bottom line is this, that if they looked at his salary, his worth, and everything else and said, I'm sorry, Teddy, you're going to have to pay, you know, $17 million in bail, where the guy that, you know, barely making a living wage, he only has to pay $1,700 because it is that kind of an economic impact upon both of them. That's how it should be. And so if you, you know, if you believe you're above the law because of who you think you are, and you think you should be able to get away with it, your penalty should be much more severe. You want to clean things up, my friends. You have to start looking at things that way. That to say, you know what? You know, the higher you go, the harder you fall. But you know what? We have a society that buffers. They've buffered themselves from getting truly hurt. We need to start really looking at how. But these are side issues. I don't want you to think that this is the most important thing. The most important thing is getting the federal government into compliance. The second most important thing is getting the states into compliance with the Constitution as well. These are the things that we must be doing. And the indictment of your state government, the indictment of your county government, the indictment of the federal government is how they tax things. Now, let's look at this in a different perspective real quick because I got a minute left. Government taxes based on what they think they need to spend. You get government to spend money on the things that they only should be doing, the only things you've enumerated to them, like the federal government. If the federal government was only able to spend money on those particular things that were enumerated within the Constitution, what they spent their money on would be less than half of what they're currently spending. In other words, we would have a surplus in the taxation that is coming in and be able to pay our debt off if they got out of the business of doing things they have no constitutional authority to do. It's that simple. Are you worried about the debt? Are you worried about what the heck's going on? Are you worried about what we're going to leave our children? Republic Review, auditing the Constitution and getting the federal government into full compliance to that compact is the only way we're going to survive. As we start preparing to be allowed to enjoy our freedom again, you better get out, you better be loud, and you better start demanding every public servant one thing: compliance. Don't ask them to go in and stop abortion. Go in and demand that they obtain full compliance from the federal government. Your state legislators' focus needs to be getting the federal government into compliance. They're the only ones with the authority to do this. And with that, my friends, that's how we do this. That's how we do it. This is why it's important, this essay on property. And again, we'll get into the Tory Acts, but in our next episode, we're going to have a great representative from the state of South Dakota, Representative Randolph. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.